This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
There comes a time in every young life when the world gets louder and lonelier. For me, that was seventh grade. I was dodging bullies in the schoolyard, hiding from chaos at home, and lighting my first cigarette in the shadows behind Bobby's house. It was rebellion. It was survival. And somehow, it was growth. In this episode of Little Did I Know, I take you into the heart of my early adolescence. From juvenile courtrooms to church pews, from prank calls gone wrong to curtain calls at the Cohoes Music Hall, this was the year I learned how to perform and how to disappear. You'll meet the misfits who became my escape and the mentors who saw past my mistakes. You'll hear the voice that changed my path and maybe understand why I never stopped searching for belonging. Coming of age isn't just about growing up. It's about waking up. Episode 8, Coming of Age. Only on Little Did I Know. Welcome back to Little Did I Know. I'm your host, David Little, and I'm here with Christopher and Angela. This episode is titled Coming of Age, and it dives deep into the roller coaster years of my early adolescence, the awkward, wild, and strangely illuminating period that helped shape who I am today.
Hey everyone, we're so glad to be here. David, this episode has so much to unpack. Rebellion, revelation, and ultimately redemption. It's raw and real.
Absolutely. Let's start where it gets messy, with the bomb scare incident. David, walk us through that morning. What were you all thinking?
It started like any other prank-filled morning. Me, Bobby, and Steve Welcome were at Bobby's house before school. We were making crank calls from the phone book, silly stuff, but then someone brought up the idea of calling in a bomb threat. I had a couple beers in me, was stoned, and thought, why not? I volunteered to make the call.
Was there a moment you realized you crossed a serious line?
Not really. Not until a few days later in Mr. Snyder's class. I ran my mouth, bragged about it. That's what got me caught.
So you get summoned to the principal's office. What goes through your mind?
I thought it was about skipping school, but no. There's Detective Winner, who lived upstairs from us, handing me a summons to juvenile court. It hit hard.
How did your parents react?
They were shocked, angry, embarrassed. That was the beginning of my juvenile record and the moment I started being labeled as a bad kid.
Let's rewind a bit. Bobby was clearly important in your life. What drew you to him?
He didn't judge me. His house wasn't perfect. 2 bedrooms for 4 people, his mom working double shifts, but it was a refuge. My mom thought he was a bad influence, but he was just trying to survive, like me.
And after the court case, how did it impact your family dynamics?
There was tension. My siblings distanced themselves. My mom kept reminding me I was on thin ice. I ended up sentenced to 6 months probation and 30 hours of community service, cleaning windows at St. Mary's.
Then something unexpected happened. A voice discovered in the most unlikely of places.
Yep, after a show at the Coho's Music Hall, I was collecting playbills in the orchestra pit and singing to myself. Ruth Vore, the house manager, overheard me and invited me to perform in their summer stock production of World War II.
Your solo was When Johnny Comes Marching Home. What did that moment mean to you?
It meant I wasn't just a troublemaker. I had value. I had a voice. It changed everything.
Ruth became a mentor, right?
She was one of the first adults to truly see me, not as a delinquent, but as an expressive, creative kid. She believed in me.
And your brother Jim was part of the theater world too?
He had just come back from Kansas State and became an assistant director. For once, we connected on something that didn't involve conflict.
You were living a double life. How did you manage the chaos of pot smoking and petty crime while ushering shows and attending youth group?
Honestly, I didn't think of it as managing. It was survival. The music hall gave me purpose. Church gave me structure. Bobby gave me escape. It was chaotic, but somehow it all kept me afloat.
You also mentioned meeting Chris Bramer. Tell us about him.
Chris Bramer was like a ghost from the other side of the tracks. Quiet, but intense. He had a tough reputation, had been in and out of juvenile detention. But with me, he was chill. He didn't bully or manipulate. One day he told me he ushered at the Coho's Music Hall and worked the cloakroom. That's how he made tip money for smokes.
And that sparked your interest?
Absolutely! He said Ruth Vore, the house manager, was cool and gave him a cut of the tip jar. I needed something to feel legit again, so I asked to join. Jim gave Ruth the thumbs up on me, and my mom agreed, as long as it didn't interfere with my curfew. That job became a game changer.
What was the experience like? Volunteering, ushering shows, being backstage?
Magical. It was like stepping into another world. I had structure, but also freedom.
Ruth got me. She even supported my passion for singing. For the first time, I wasn't just that kid on probation. I was part of something real.
If you could go back and talk to that version of yourself, what would you say?
I'd say, you matter. Don't let the labels define you. Find your voice and follow it. Because even then, I was on the edge of something meaningful.
Thanks for listening to Coming of Age, Episode 8 of Little Did I Know. That period of my life was a balancing act between chaos and creativity, crime and chorus. And I'm excited to share that my full story is coming soon. Little Did I Know, From Shadows to Light. My story releases by year's end. It's the memoir behind these episodes, the heart of it all. Make sure to follow the podcast for updates and sneak previews. Until next time, take care of your younger self and listen for the music
in the middle of your mess.
Next time on Little Did I Know, we take a hard look at the bullies, those who left bruises you could see and the ones you couldn't. From relentless torment at the ball fields to ambushes on the walk home, David shares the fear, shame, and surprising revelations that shaped his teenage identity.
It's not just about the pain. It's about power, survival, and learning who you really are when your back's against the wall.
Episode 9, Bruised But Breathing, coming.